Today I will talk a bit. I hope I have the time. About this issue of giving again. So that, you know, Mr. Pastor, why do you say it a lot? Because I hear the opposite a lot. Today is Saturday, right? Many of you go to your churches on Sunday, tomorrow. You will see here this one I'm trying to correct. Somebody was going to tell you that offering time, this is a time to open the doors of prosperity. So the worship time, the doors of prosperity were shut. The time you were preaching and I was agreeing and saying amen, I couldn't open the doors of prosperity. Please, I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. That is the covenant, the promise concerning prosperity, all right, was issued before you were born. Are you getting my point? And that is what guarantees your future. And you will see where we read just now from Romans chapter 6. He said, how do we inherit promises? It's through two things. Faith and what? Patience. I'd like to tell you something. You can't dictate time for God. Let me say it again. You do not have the ability. It is not one of those things that God puts in your control. The dictation of time. No. Your times are, that one, he kept in his hands. Let me say that again. Time. Nobody dictates time for God. A brother said once, it was reported to me. He said, now I am due for my breakthrough. I wanted to call him to say, who told you that? Somebody says, I have suffered enough. I said, according to whose timing? If you say you are tired of suffering, I can understand. But it is enough, you don't know. Let me tell you something. I don't want you to hear this. I believe believers should expect a miracle. That's it. Every morning, expect a miracle. Believe me, the miracle is like the day of the Lord. You don't know the day is coming. You know, Joseph, I always say, woke up that morning not even knowing that the time for his release had come. In fact, nobody plotted to release him. By the time he arrived at Pharaoh's palace, the papers of release had not been prepared. But the Bible said there was a time that his word came. That is the word, the promise that God had over his life. There was a time that that promise came to pass. When that time was right, the king sent for him and loosed him. Listen, when Pharaoh sent for him, he was not planning to loosen the man. But God knew that it was a time. I'm putting two things there. I'm highlighting those things we read. How do we inherit promises? He said it's through what? Faith and patience. What is patience? Let me quickly define it. We've discussed it several times, but we can't say these things enough. Patience is that I locate what is right. I do that which is right, and I don't stop doing that which is right, whether I get results or I don't. You know my results now. Whether God suddenly blesses me or he doesn't. Once I locate that which is right, I do it. Please, I hope you guys will be patient with me while I go through this, my troubles of this money matter. I just need to clarify it. You know the reason why I'm clarifying it? I just realized it now. A time will come, you will prosper so much, you will know what it means to prosper. Let me say it again. The time is coming shortly. That you will prosper so much, you will understand what it means to prosper. Amen. At such times, if you did not learn the right gospel, you will stop giving because now you don't need money again. Do you get my point? He said, yes, I have prospered. He said, give that you shall get. He said, no, I don't get what you want where I need. Forget that side. I'm okay. The Lord is good. What am I saying? I just want to emphasize this to us again in that area. That people said, give so that you might get. I said, I have a problem with that. The problem is that when I don't get, I get discouraged. Because it's scriptural. The hope that is deferred makes the heart faint. I don't want to tell you to put up your hands, but I know many of us have gone through that. Somebody has said, this is this 5,000 that you will pledge. It's painful. But man of God, I will do it. And in 3 weeks, something strange is going to happen. The only strange thing that happened to you was that your hunger became more intense. You had never been that hungry in your life. That's the only strange thing that happened to you. The man said, if God doesn't bless you, come to my office, I will refund your money. Even you knew that was a very stupid statement. It is not possible that you go and trace a man who's not from your town. He was invited by somebody to come and preach while you are present. How, did he give you a receipt when he gave the offering? Even you knew that it didn't make sense. As he was saying, you didn't even put it to mind at all. He said, God, forget it. They just God just bless me. I'm not planning to ask for a refund. Are you? What are you? Walmart. I know, come on, it has happened to you. It has happened to maybe not everybody, but a lot of us. It has happened. Hope was deferred. Like I always say, because a man promised what God did not promise. What is godliness with contentment? Godliness with contentment is that, if I believe so much in that project, I believe it's for God. Or I believe so much in that person who's in need, and I want to bless the child of God. Whatever it is, and it's paining me as I'm doing it, but at least I know it's for a good cause. I had only 5,200, and I gave 5,000. I was ready to manage my 200 while I was doing it. It's called godliness with contentment. And like I told you, there's nothing like give money, you get money. That thing is shallow discussion in spiritual things. It's not that these people who don't reason it well are the ones that say it. I've even seen people go far and say that give dollar, you get dollar. Give pound, you get pound. I believe that they are just spiritual Alibabas. They were just cracking jokes. I don't believe the person was serious. Because like I said to you, you can't sow material things into the spiritual realm. Just like you cannot go to your farm and say, here is goodwill. You plant it and expect goodwill to grow from the soil. It doesn't work. You can't show the soil mercy and the soil will show you mercy. It does not work. Physical seeds have physical, the physical earth accept physical seeds, and spiritual seeds, the spiritual soil, which is the realm of the spirit, accepts spiritual seeds. So if I give, what I am actually giving is the motive behind my giving. So if I give money, I'm either giving kindness or honor. Because you give to a man, there are people you give to so as to honor them. So when you sow honor, you reap what? Honor. You can be giving as an act of mercy. So when you give mercy, you receive mercy. Mercy does not have to return to you as money. Why am I discussing that? This is what faith, this is what patience is. I learn to give and I continue giving whether God returns it or he does not. That's what patience is. Godliness with contentment is that I give, it's that I had 5,200, now I have released 5,000, I have 200. I am willing to manage my 200. This is how men do things in faith. They say, our God is able to deliver us. In fact, we dreamt that he delivered us. But listen, oh boy, even if he does not, our refusal to bow is not predicated upon his promise of deliverance. Whether he delivers or he does not deliver, we will not bow. That's faith and patience. Please, I hope you are following my point. Listen, we are ending everything now, right? I started by explaining that your life is based on what? Promises. But there is the thing you have to do to inherit your promises. And the Bible says it's just two things. Faith and what? Patience. There's something I want to explain about that faith. Because as I was thinking about it yesterday, I was praying about this teaching today. I said, Lord, what exactly? Because you know, if you remember last week, I started talking about the steps that we go through in our life. All right? The 5 steps I refer to the message I preached on radio, in which I talked about cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures. I said there are 5 steps. I said I was going to deliver the step, develop them. Then afterwards, I said, no, why should I develop them? When I go home, I said, why should I develop them? Go and collect the CD. Listen to it. I taught them extensively on radio then. And there's nothing I'm going to say that will add to them right now. So I said, let me just leave that one where it is. I've already explained the 5 steps. That if you want to follow the way of God, your life will go through those 5 steps. There's this time of sitting down and counting. There's a time of the trial of your faith. And I said, in the time of sitting down and counting, you come out with what the Bible calls wisdom for your salvation, which is what I've already discussed. That is what to do. That's your own entrance into your eternal kingdom. All right? Now, all those things I will discuss in that message. So let me recommend it again. We have it available on one single MP3 CD, Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. Please go and listen to it. I said, let me just finish my message by discussing this matter of faith and patience. All right? Now, so what is faith? All right? I just learned some things about patience. I'll still come back to you talking about faith. So as I was meditating, I said, okay, how did Abraham, being the champion example of people who live by promise, all right, how did he receive his promise? Then I remembered that scripture and I read it. And immediately again, I remember the book of Romans chapter 4. Because there, let's quickly go to that Romans chapter 4. Because there we saw Abraham's life analyzed. Oh my God, I realize it again. If you trust in God, you will never be put to shame. The fact is that a lot of people who claim that God is appointing them, they were not trusting in him. They were testing him out. Do you get my point? What were they doing? They were testing him out. Like there are those who went to church because they found out that 419 does not pay. Therefore, they went to listen to God on how to make money. But they still came for money. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Let me just chip this one in. I like to say many things this Saturday, all right? We're just learning, all right? Let me say it again. We said it before. Christianity is not about new methods of achieving the same results. You hear what I said? In your hometown, in your village, the contest amongst your age group is who will build the biggest house. Therefore, some boys went and read and read and came out with first classes and tried, and some managed, they got their jobs in oil companies, and they are now directors and they are earning big money. And they built a gigantic house or gigantic houses in your hometown. So they are winning the race. Some didn't do that. They try reading. They discover that the race is not to the swift. So they, no matter how much they read, they could not pass. So they left that one and started doing business. Amongst them, some businesses did well and they made a lot of money. They have big shops in Idumota in Lagos. They have in Iweka here. They have everywhere. And they have also built their big houses. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amongst those who their business did not do well, some went into the crooked side of it. We call it 419 or drug pushing. And they began to make money. And then you, being a child of God, you didn't get that job. You started a business too, but you aren't going to push drug for anybody because you're a Christian. Or maybe you found out that one of the boys who tried drug pushing, he passed through Saudi Arabia and then beheaded him. You know, Saudi is not they know they mess you. If they cash you with cocoa, they will use your head. You know? Maybe they will invest in pass through Singapore. They hung the guy. Now you realize, hey, man, this is a risky business. So you withdrew yourself, and somebody said, come to our church. Our pastor will preach until you become rich. Then when you heard the word rich, you went to church. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. And then when they say, who will give his life to Christ, you ran forward. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I accept into you my life. Be my Lord and my personal Savior. From today, I will serve you. And you add your own line to it. All you need to do, just make me rich. Amen. You know that kind of thing. And you finish that. Now, listen, you finish that, no problem. Then the last 5 years, you've been serving the Lord. But listen to me. You have been serving him, still competing with your age mates at home. You have seen him as another method to get to the same place that the other people are getting to. Let me disappoint you today. You're on the wrong track. You have not given your life to Christ. This is what Jesus does for you. He first changes your plan for life. He said, boy, oh boy. He said, yes, sir. In that village, no house for you. That is, start from the beginning. The race, the competition ends. That I'm not in the game of who can make who richer or richest. That's not my job. I have not called you to go and compete with jokers and ignoramuses who forget that when this earth will melt away, their houses will be the first thing to go. Are you getting my point? That no, I have called everyone who will answer my call to us to reunite them with my purpose for their lives. Not this one of your chasing houses. Listen, this is your first assignment. I make you poor. I'm serious. Said, the one you had before, I will take it. You either give it to me willingly, or I take it by force. There are different ways by which God takes things. He said, which is the willing way? Don't worry, I'll soon send an evangelist your way. Who wants to support the work of the ministry? I will tell you, boy, go and support him. He said, Bola, I don't have much now. See that house, go and sell it. Bring the money and give to the poor and support the work of the ministry. He said, Lord, this house, you know, see, this is only sign that I was in Lagos for 16 years. How is it? So the evangelist will come and he will go. The poor will come, they will go. God said, fine. Everybody has seen that. I tried the gentle way of collecting my money. He did not give it to me. The next thing you hear that Hurricane Andrew resurrected from his grave, passed through your village. He found only one thing to take, your house. You know the good thing, if really you gave your life to Christ, you will cry only for 2 minutes. Then you wake up and say, God, was that you? He said, it was me. Why did you do that? He said, because I asked for it nicely. You did not give it to me. Now I have taken it by force. And you know the interesting part, if indeed you gave your life to Christ, you won't be worried. You will just smile and say, God, now wow. Huh? One way or the other, you must just get your way. Because yes, what did you say? You gave your life to me. Your life is now mine. I need to say that to young people. This is Christianity. It's not another method of making money. It's not. We may not like to hear this. There are those who were rich and God will make them poor. And when I say poor, it doesn't mean they become poverty-stricken people. What I just mean is that they were doing businesses, controlling hundreds of millions of dollars. God said, that's one assignment. That one has now ended. I want to give you another job. Take the gospel to the depths of the jungles in the Congo. It doesn't mean you are poor. It just means that the days of $100 million businesses, those days have ended. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making. And what I'm saying is clear to you. I just need to get that one into our minds. I don't know why my mind just went there. In Christianity, God took your life and is giving his own purpose. He's not trying to, you know, you're not going to use him to get to the village and finally drive down. Say, praise God. You stole to get your own car. You labored hard to get your own. I have brought mine by grace. My God is as big as yours. In fact, he's bigger. And you're talking that nonsense because of the size of the car. I've told you before, God is not confused as to his power. You are the one that's confused. He doesn't need to make you the richest man in the world to prove to anybody that he can. Because he knows that Babalawos, DBS, they do these things periodically. So when did he start competing with small guys on who can make who rich? I don't know. How did I get there? I don't know again. What was I saying when I got there? But I hope you've learned something from there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So I said that we're talking about inheriting through what? Faith and patience. I said we should go to Romans chapter 4. Okay, I remember what I was saying now. So I said that, look, the fact is that God never disappoints people. A lot of people who said that God disappointed them is that they were not serving God. They had other motives when they gave their life to Christ. They had something else they were pursuing. So it appeared as if God did not come forth with what the pastor promised. That's why he said God has disappointed. I remember one Christian movie watched in my house. One guy took the phone and called his pastor. He said, Pastor, he said, God has done it again. Ah, Pastor said, oh, praise God. Let me hear the testimony. He said, which testimony? I mean, God has failed me again. This is the fourth job I'm applying for. And he's doing the same thing again and again. Because he was a dedicated man in church. And let me tell you, okay, well, I don't know whether to announce it now. I'm still thinking about it. I will do a series of teachings titled How to Work for God. A lot of people are working and working and working. And they say, God, you are owing me. I've worked for you. Because they worked for who? I don't know you. Everything you have done was for yourself and Pastor Banky. I think I owe you. I don't owe you. Who are you working for? Me? Will you stop that nonsense before I slap you now? Say, Papa, go, what? All the nights I did not sleep, thief, you were trying to make me feel bad so that I will bless you by force. Why you, in fact, is your problem you did not sleep. Those who I'm really blessing, the time you are awake, they were sleeping. You know why? Because I'm the one that neither sleeps nor slumbers. People who are blessed are supposed to sleep and slumber. What's your problem? I said, I gave. He said, you did not give. You invested. Lord, I gave. Papa God said, no, you didn't give nothing. It was an investment. Somebody said, give dollar, you receive dollar. You are waiting for the dollar. Is this an investment? That's not giving. Say, what do you mean? He said, oh boy, let's start again. Last 6 years, you were on your own. I knew you not. Everything you were doing is called the work of iniquity. I've written a book on it. It's in the press. It's titled How to Work for God. You will discover number one way. If you don't do that first thing, every other thing, nah, nonsense. What am I saying? A lot of people who say that God failed them. It is because they are serving themselves and they are demanding payment from God. Can you imagine? I work for Federal Ministry of Health. I work in the hospital at the end of the month. And I go to Enugu State Ministry of Health and say, where's my money? And they now refer me to the Commissioner for Health. He said, Doc, sir, where's my money? Say, which money? You guys have not paid me in the last 5 months. Say, where were you working? I work in University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital. Say, my friend, are you all right? That is University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital. It's the federal government. This is Enugu State Government Office you have come to. That's what a lot of us do. When we say, God, I have saved you, will bless me. And God says, Michael, where's the record? Did this guy ever work for us? Michael said, me, I've never seen him before. God, I was always in church. God said, yeah, wait, you think that's where I mark my register? I mark my register first at home and in your common office. Oh, he's church. That's not the first place. Anybody who calls his father to come and work in Kingdom World Ministry is bringing problem upon us. You don't know that? You tell your father, say, don't worry, I will still prosper. Whether you bless me or not, I'm going to meet Pastor Banky. He will bless me. I beg you, carry your wahala. Because the place I took the re-register from that day, you failed. You failed. As you were going, somebody said, maybe one of your friends said, I've not eaten since the morning. Please, can you give me 20 naira to eat? He said, this is my only offering for today. I am going to trek to church so as to give the offering because I must never appear in God's presence empty-handed. You just left God's presence. You don't know. And as soon as you leave, the Holy Spirit inside that man who came to beg for money will depart. Then the man's hunger will disappear. Because he said, when did we see you and we did not take you in? When were you in prison, we did not visit you? Jesus said, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of my brethren, you did not do it for me. Do you get my point? That's why it's very important. I can pretend that God never fails anybody. Never. He never fails anybody. Listen, it's good to cook for Jesus Christ. Very good. But please, if your name is Martha, first you must learn the assignment of Mary first. That's why in Kingdom World Ministry, today I was sitting in Chukubike. Some of you booked cities last week, all right? So you wanted to quickly make the cities. But because he had not pressed the enter button for the machine to start multiplying the cities, and prayer was already going on, I said, Chukubike, shut it down. Shut it down. I said, this is a rule here. You know, you heard me shouting on the day, Chuku. You don't arrange chairs while I'm preaching. What's wrong with you? Yeah? No. Nobody works. If I'm the pastor of a church, they say, who will do security? Listen. No, I'm serious. We'll have to arrange it. Every man in security is entitled to the tape for the day. If it's two services we run in the church, you can't do security in both services. You do security in one service, and by the time we are needing security, actually, I think we have money. I go and hire a company. Everybody enter church and hear the gospel. Listen, if you see God's register and see man's register, you compare the two of them, you go shock. You will converse when you see that the person you have been hearing say, Babake, ultimate worker. God's the ultimate worker of what? Good or iniquity? Listen, oh God, you mommies are lucky, say I'll not be pastor of a church. I will disgrace people sometimes. In fact, they won't even bother come. You know, people soon know the kind of person that you are. They will know, they will soon know the kind of person that you are. No, they will soon know. Because all the people who, this year, you are telling lies, I will bear with you. The following year, you are still telling lies. I sack you from every work in that assembly. The world is not working in you. The word is not working in you. The first work of God is inside. In fact, why am I preaching my sermon for the seminar now? Let's leave it. We'll come. I beg, invite everybody. How to work for God. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you see a lot of work people are doing, they're just throwing effort into the dustbin. You know why? Not because the work is not good. Like I always say, it's work we are doing here. I hope you know that. These lights didn't hang themselves. These cameras are not manning themselves. No, it's work. I mean, it's good work. Do you get my point? And believe me, I appreciate everything that everybody is doing. For those of you who helped me pack, I told you again, may God arrange your life the way you arranged my home for me. May God bless you and increase you in Jesus' name. As I've been packing from smaller houses to bigger ones, so you will increase also in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, it's important work. All right? But the important thing is this, first things first. There is a fundamental work that if we don't do, all the outward ones don't count for anything. That's what I'm emphasizing. Are you getting my point? Why did I say all of that? I was trying to say that God does not fail people. What did I say? God doesn't fail people. Those who say that God failed them is because they were not serving God. They didn't know how to follow God properly. Romans chapter 4. He said, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to him who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, that is, his wage this time around is not because of what he did. He said, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. And he quoted David there. Then he now said, is this blessing then upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say, that's verse 9, faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. Now he went ahead with the argument, trying to explain that the man did not need the circumcision, all right, to become righteous, but circumcision was given to him as a seal of the fact that he had become righteous. Do you understand that point? And I said in verse 13, I just want to jump down somewhere. Verse 12, he said, and the father was describing this circumcision matter. Let me just read from 11. He said, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be reckoned to them, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but notice this, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. Now, why did I read that? I wanted to bring out that word. I wanted to bring out that expression, in which he said, there are steps to the faith of Abraham. He said that Abraham, that the promise is for everyone who follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. We talked about inheriting the promise. Don't forget, your blessing is what? A promise. Let me tell you what a promise means. It just means that God looked at you before you did anything and said, I promise by myself that I will bless you. Are you getting my point? One day, the person I'm talking about is not here. One brother, he walked up to me and said, I never asked God for anything. I said, why not? He said, because I don't know anything that I have done for him so that he will give me anything. And I started laughing. I laughed very hard. You know why I laughed? Because to me, it was so absurd. What I thought was basic understanding. That's why I said, next year, we are starting with Christian basics. We have to learn some fundamentals of faith again. It was so absurd to me that how can you say that you don't ask God for anything because you have never done anything for him? I said, you know my children. Then I had 2 sons. 1 4, 1 2. I said, what do they do for me? Nothing. Nothing. Do they ask me for everything? Yes. Daddy, I want to play a game. Daddy, buy ice cream. Daddy, buy me that cloth. Daddy, I want to go out with you. They are always asking for things. And anyone that I think is good for them, I do. They don't ask for school fees, I pay. They don't ask for a house to stay in, automatically there's just a house to stay in. I make sure they have bed to sleep on. They have food to eat at all times. They don't even know they're supposed to ask for food. They just go and eat. This afternoon, my son, he had a pack of, I don't know what it was, one of these funny things that my wife bought from somewhere. I said, what is that? He says, mommy, that I put in the freezer. So why are you eating it? He said, the thing was just wasting there. I said, it was wasting. He said, yes, so. It has been there for a few days. And the guy was munching away. What kind of chocolatey kind of stuff like that? He said, the thing was just wasting. So I said, why should he waste? I looked at the boy. I was busy preparing for Bible study. I didn't have time for lectures. So I just left him alone to be preventing waste. Are you this? Are you a dustbin? Gather up the remnants. Let nothing be wasted. Disciple of Jesus Christ. And my son is a man of God. The Lord is good. So I told him, mommy, that's it. And doesn't do anything for me. Well, he's growing now. He can run a few errands, but he's not getting anything because of errands he ran. What is it? Because he's what? A son. Just because he's a son, he gets everything. You understand the principle there? That's what he promises. I want believers to please shave their brain of this. I'm working a covenant with God. I have given him, he'll give back to me. No, around nonsense. You don't do that with God. You don't do that with God. What have you given him for your life? Nothing. A promise is just that the day you believed, God said, listen, you will not die, you will live, you will prosper. You haven't done anything, no. All you have done is just came forward and you believed. God said, for you to be willing to renounce your former ways, and to take up my new life. That's all I need. It's called faith. Therefore, I account it in your life as righteousness. And righteousness is the excuse that God requires to bless people. So once God said, this is a righteous man, it means that everybody watch out. You touch him, you're in trouble. I said, how do we inherit it? That's what I began to discuss. We inherit these things because of faith and patience. But here, I wanted to go into this, but our time is up. Now talk about the steps of the faith of Abraham. I wanted to title my message for today, but it didn't work out like that. I want to title it, How to Activate the Promise. Do you understand that? But let me recommend a CD to you. Activating the Blessings of God. Listen to them. And it's a series, all right? But everything. I think 2 of them are on 1 CD. Activating the Blessing and Maintaining the Blessing. Total of 6 messages on 1 single MP3 CD. Look, God has helped us. We made those MP3 CDs very cheap. I think it's 180 naira or so that Israel will give one to you so that you can listen to them. But please listen to it, all right? I wanted to title that, discuss that today, but I'll just use that next time to finish it. Activating the blessings, all right? The promises. Because the fact that God promised something, that's what I want to say. Let me say this and I close. The fact that God promised something, all right, does not mean it must come to pass. Did you hear that? We have the ability to hinder his promise. We have the ability as people to hinder the promises of God. Actually, what we call activating those promises, you will discover is more of refusal to hinder. I don't know what I'm going to explain. That you see, the promises come forth. They will have come forth automatically. Except that we often do things that hinder the promises. So when I'm discussing activating the promises, you will discover that actually what we are doing is most of the times refusing to hinder. Even when we talk about praying, because I'll talk about prayer briefly. you will discover that prayer is not actually to make God do what he doesn't want to do. It's to let him know that you have agreed concerning what he wants to do, and you are telling him you are ready. God, flow. If you've been coming for a school of prayer, we'll be discussing that. How Daniel prayed. Daniel did not pray until he discovered a promise. Daniel chapter 9. He said, I, Daniel, I discovered in the books the number of the years wherewith the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, saying in which he would accomplish the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. And I discovered that 70 years was over. So I began to pray. Promise ignited the prayer. Do you get my point? Listen, we can hinder the release of God's promise into our lives, the blessings contained therein. We have a message in our series. I don't know which particular one contains it now. This message that's titled Poor Jonah. What did I call it? Poor Jonah. What did I mean when I said Poor Jonah in that message? Jonah prophesied, and what he said did not come to pass. And according to the rules of the Old Testament, that made him a false prophet. And several times, Jonah had been so embarrassed by God. That was why when God told Jonah, go to Nineveh and go and preach, Jonah said, not me. You dey look for who you go disgrace again. I'm not going. How do I know? Because when he prophesied, and what he prophesied did not come to pass, Jonah said, was this not what I said while I was still in my country? That you will make me prophesy and then you won't do anything. But God explained something to us. Paul was writing. In the book of Hebrews, he said, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. That is, let me put it like this. They did not take the necessary steps of faith to activate the promise in their life. Most of the things we do as believers, they are actually things that we do so as to cooperate with our faith. I said all the things I said so that we'll understand something. I said before that an adult can be running, either he's chasing something, or something is chasing him. Why are you doing what you are doing? Are you trying to bribe God, or because you have discovered that you have been blessed? There are things that if you don't do, it's because you have refused the blessing of God. Let me give an example. If the widow of Zarephath did not give to Elijah, it was because she refused his word. Are you getting my point? But her giving to Elijah was not what brought forth her blessing. The blessing was commanded before Elijah left the brook of Cherith. So James said, your works cooperating with your faith. He was talking about the steps of the faith of Abraham. He said his works cooperated with his faith. Therefore, his faith was perfected. What activates your blessing? Your promise is the perfection of your faith. It's the perfection of your faith that activates the promises of God in your life. I hope you've gotten my point.